Dance Day, and today we're headed into the lab.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
I like it. All right. Welcome back to Into the Point with Kristen Burt. I'm Kristen Burt, and so excited for our World of Dance guests today. They are from the lab. So I'm going to introduce right here next to me, Victoria Little Sweets Hernandez. You're one of the members of the crew.
Yes.
Sitting just across from me, right over here, we have Trey Durego. And then director of the lab, Valerie Ramirez. Thank Hello. You, guys.
Thank you.
So
Thank you.
Excited you guys are joining me because there's so much to talk about. We talked about a lot off air, and I just think that the experience of what World of Dance has really brought not only to you guys, but I think to audiences in general, not just dance audiences, has been really incredible.
Sure.
Yes. But I kind of want to start from the beginning with you guys because I think what you guys... And Carrie's in the studio, too, over here. But she's off camera. But what the two of you have created in West Covina, I think, is kind of amazing. So I would love Thank to hear you. Just how the idea came about for creating the studio for the lab.
Actually, I mean, I got to say it was probably a little over 10 years ago. It was something that I felt was lacking, not just in our community, but in general. I felt like there needed to be a place where we could kind of congregate and bring the youth and anybody that really has a passion for what they do together to share. And I feel like when you connect with energy, it helps you bring out the things that you're best at, and it helps you kind of discover new things that you maybe didn't realize you had in you or that you wanted to be. And so I feel like, yeah, it was like probably a little bit like over 10 years ago, it was just like, you know what, if there was a center where we could have not just dance, but we could have fitness and tumbling and all these other things that we could incorporate that kind of really go together as a lifestyle, that would be something that wouldn't just benefit the youth, but it benefits the people that the creatives behind it helping the youth. You know, everybody really gets, that's the best thing about instruction and teaching and stuff, is that everybody wins. You know, when you give, that's a great feeling, and when you receive, that's a great feeling. So those two things combined, it just seemed to make sense.
And what made you, were you living in West Covina? Like, what made you create the studio here in West Covina?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in East LA, El Monte kind of area, and I had moved to West Covina a little bit later, and it felt to me like it was a nice kind of medium between Orange County and LA, you know, where it was like, because a lot of our dancers and a lot of dancers in general, we travel to go where we want to train, you know, so it's really important that you're centrally located in these areas that can benefit the most people. However, being so far, you know, 30, 40 minutes from LA or North Hollywood, it can sometimes take you out of the scene, but it's also just close enough that it makes things reachable, you know, it makes things possible. So for me, it was West Covina because it was where I was living at the time, but it was also seemed to me to make the most sense for the family environment that I feel like we really provide at the studio.
And you just touched upon this, and I thought this was super interesting, even when I was just like cruising around their website. You have everything from like weightlifting, kickboxing, tumbling, hip hop. Like, this is the foundation of what the studio is about. And you, now that I saw that, I was like, I see that in the choreography too.
Yeah.
It made so much sense to me.
Definitely. It's been really important to me. I recognized a long time ago that the more well-rounded you are and the more you open your mind to appreciate everything that's involved in what you do and recognize that it's not just one thing that can propel you to the next level, it helps you appreciate all these other things that are going to contribute to the things that you really want to be known for. So I thought it was, you know, if we're going to do dance, let's be the best athletes we can be at it. So, you know, you open up a gym, then you open up a gym, you recognize how much strength training you need to have that, you open up a weight room, and it just kind of trickles down from there, where you start recognizing how these other things really enhance what you're, you know, you're training for.
All right, so for you guys, how long have you guys been with the lab? When did you, you know, start, you know, getting to know Valerie and everything?
For me, this is going to be my fourth year being with the lab, and I met Valerie by just taking classes at the lab. I took their house classes on Tuesday, and they had auditions for the team to be a part of the lab team. And I auditioned, and that's how I met Val, and is like instantly like, I want to be a part of this. Like, I want to be a part of this journey that she's going to take all of these kids on.
So you were about 11 or 12 at that time? Because you're 16 right now.
I was about 13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how about for you?
So I was, mine was a little over 4 years ago. I had heard from one of my mom's friends about the studio, and so I had went just for one class, and when I was signing up, I got to meet Val and Carrie. And I had just taken one class, and I kept going back, and then after a while, I got to be a part of the team.
Oh, I love that. Now, I'm going to ask, because dance purists are going to say, what about the ballet and the jazz and the contemporary? Sure. Because your studio doesn't currently offer that, right?
Correct.
So are they going to other studios for that, or are you just are you encouraging them to do that, or are they just staying focused on what your studio offers?
Yeah, no, I have so much respect for the fundamentals and, like, foundation and the technical side of dance and what that has to benefit, you know, even a dancer in hip-hop. And they're always encouraged to go and train in that. We don't specifically offer it because I don't have a strong understanding, knowledge, or background in it. And I feel pretty strongly that if you're going to offer courses, you need to either be a specialist in it or you need to know people or hire people that can do that. And it hadn't worked out that we ever geared it that way because I wasn't really connected with people that were, you know, doing that sort of a thing. And the people that I was connected with or knew of, they already had their own establishments. So it was kind of one of those things where it just made sense to just keep pushing the things I felt comfortable in and felt that I could get to the next level with. So it was always like, hey, if you're going to train in those styles, you need to go check out these studios, you know? Yeah. And it was kind of one of those things where they knew that that was something that they should pursue, but we didn't necessarily have it available to us in the facility, but that was something that they've always been encouraged to absolutely go train in and make sure they're, you know, widening their knowledge of all the styles.
Now, I know you said you had ballet slippers, so yeah. You must have taken a ballet class somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the studio, but I had gone to a place for a little bit when I was about to go on to So You Think You Can Dance. I had been doing ballet for maybe like 2 months, and so that's where I had my ballet slippers from.
Oh, I love this. Now, you did make it to the academy last season.
Yes, I did.
To Joshua's team.
Yes, I did. I made it to Joshua's team.
And tell me about that experience, because I think you had a very good experience with that.
Yeah, before I had done So You Think You Can Dance, I was I wasn't a confident dancer at first, and it was one of the first things I had ever done, like, by myself as an individual, and it really... As I was there, I got to see all these other dancers that have already been, like, their names have been out there. Like, they've been doing stuff by themselves for such a long time. And it's what really boosted my confidence. And it was, like, that first step becoming, like, an individual dancer, too.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing that experience brought you to that level, too. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the outcome was.
No, it wasn't, like, for me, when I went into it, I wasn't looking like, oh, I want to make it, like, all the way to the end. I just went in knowing that I want to be able to grow throughout and use that later on in life.
And for you, your experience is kind of different than his, too, because you're primarily a street dancer.
Yes. I mostly, my primary styles are popping, locking, and whacking, the funk styles.
I love that.
And so, for me, I've always focused just on being the best that I can be, which is when I go out and battle, I train very hard so that I can at least get to the top in my battles. And there's a few that I've won and a few that I've lost, but I always go back home knowing what I need to work on and working harder to get to my goals.
That's really important. And tell us who you've been training with, because this was kind of amazing. And I'm like, where do you find them?
I've always trained with OGs. So from Soul Train, you've probably seen a bunch of your favorite dancers on Soul Train. And I've been privileged enough to dance with them and to be training under them. And they've taken me under their wing. So.
And where can people find them? Because that's what I was like, is there a studio that they're all hanging out? And she's like, MacArthur Park.
Yeah, if you go to MacArthur Park in Long Beach, the Homeland Cultural Center, that's where you'll find them here in here and then. They go there, and there you'll at least see, like, one of them there or, like, two of them there. That's where I started out, and that's how I got to meet all them, and that's how I started dancing, like, in my style and popping, was there at MacArthur Park.
I think that's amazing, and if anyone has not seen Soul Train, head to YouTube after
yes,
the show.
Yes, definitely.
Not right now, but after the show, and make sure to check it out, because, I mean, this really is some fundamentals of what street dance was that was brought to mainstream America, which I think people need to understand,
yes.
Like, because everyone just thinks, oh, well, hip-hop showed up somewhere around, like, 85.
Right.
No. Much
it's
earlier
been around
than that.
Much earlier than that, and it's really important to know your history of what you're going to be dancing in, so if you're going to be dancing hip-hop, go back and, you know, learn your history. It's good to just know where it came from, how it started, and how it's evolved today.
Well, I really appreciate that, because I am always on people of, like, if you want to be a Broadway dancer, do you know what Michael Bennett is? Do you know what Fosse is? Are you encouraging your students to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the, like, special things about when I met Sweets was that she has the discipline of a freestyler, which when you're a freestyler, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get what you put in. And sometimes when you're on your team, you have, you know, different energies where you maybe have certain kids that are really trying and certain kids that are not. And that's just the typical standard of how it always goes on teams. But as an individual, you know you're only going to get as far as what you put in. So she already had that mindset coming in. And then she already had the knowledge of, you know, the culture. And I think that was really important to have her in the group because of that. That was like such a specialty thing to me, to for her to have that at such a young age too, you know, because she was amazing as a dancer. But when you have the knowledge and you have the mindset, to me, that's something that's really going to propel you to the next level. So that was really cool about Sweets. And that's definitely something I feel like we pushed probably more this year, trying to venture out and do some of these shows and stuff. Yeah. We kind of stopped and settled into like, okay, like, let's think about what we're doing here. Yeah. You know, it goes far beyond the choreography, the 90 seconds or whatever we're doing on stage. What makes that more special is the chemistry, the connection, understanding what we're doing, the purpose behind it. So yeah. I think us really digging deeper into why we do it, who did it before us, why we're doing it now, mm-hmm. is really what helped the kids kind of connect on a different bond. Yeah.
I've got to imagine that the World of Dance experience also brought that to life for you guys, because if you're standing backstage and you're like, hello, Lay Twins, Ian Eastwood.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, just someone like me who's a dance fan, my head probably would have exploded looking at what the backstage area looked like on certain days.
It was stacked. There were so many amazing dancers that like almost everyone knows about, and just being backstage with them, getting to watch them practice and watch them run on stage, it was like, it felt like being a little kid, like watching all your inspirations, and it was amazing just to be a part of all of that.
I remember walking in the first day, and it was kind of just our rehearsal and everything, and they had a couple of the groups there. I know Kuna and Amari were there, and the twins were there, and I just looked around, and I was like, you know what, whether they get past the first round or not, just for them to be in the same environment as these people, these greats that are such wonderful examples for the kids to look up to, that was enough for me. It was kind of like that was the win right there, being able to get them to that stage. Because, you know, auditioning and making it through and all that, like sometimes you audition and then you get cut and you don't understand that you were just right on the other side of something, but they were able to get to the other side of it and that was enough. And sometimes when you get to the other side, you just keep wanting more, and that's natural. But it was the weirdest satisfaction for me to see them just be placed in the same room as those people. Mm-hmm. I knew that was going to do something for them that would change them to be able to train harder, train Definitely. With more commitment, yeah. more intent. And that's special, because you can't create that in a dance room.
Right.
I can't create that in a conversation. Yeah. That's something you have to experience.
And it makes you a little bit more hungry, too, because you're like, let's see what else is out there. Yeah. It's like, holy cow. Well, how did you get on the show? Because I've interviewed, I feel like, everyone from Ian, Kyle, Van Newkirk, everyone had a different experience of getting on the show.
Sure.
Were you guys invited and then submitted a tape? Did you do the LA auditions?
We were invited, and we submitted a tape, and we made it to the LA callbacks. And from the LA callbacks, we got the call saying they wanted us for the next round, but it was still kind of on hold because they weren't sure. I think they were still narrowing down. And I just remember us getting that official phone call, like, hey, like, you're one of the top teams that we're putting on. And, yeah, we went back and delivered the news to the kids. And it was just kind of one of those things that when you talk to them, you say, this is what we're setting out to do, you immediately get an energy like, oh, we're on the show. But then we settle back down and say, like, hey, we're auditioning for the show. We may be good enough for the show, but that doesn't mean we are entitled to the show.
Yeah.
So it was stages to getting there. I think that helped the appreciation for when we finally got that phone call. As they knew, it's, okay, it's get the routine good enough to be recognized. Then get called in. Then have to deliver under pressure. Then from there, have to be memorable. You have to be remembered out of all the people that submitted. So they knew that in building their set, they knew that everything that they put in was going to help them get to that next stage. So to get that result is something so special, because I tell them, I was like, there's tons of people that work hard. There's tons of people that deserve to be there, but not everybody always gets the opportunity, you know? So I think their appreciation and just their love for what they do, it really shows, and they're really great kids that way, because they respect the process. You know, and that's special.
Yeah, and the process is the hard work that you guys put in.
Yes.
I know that. Did you have any hesitations when you got the initial call, like, hey, we would like you to possibly do this new reality dance competition show? I think some people were just like, okay, give me more information. And once people started hearing, like, this is who is involved, this is how it's going to go, Nappy Tabs, they are co-executive producers. I think that made a lot of difference to people and reassured people.
Absolutely. I mean, they're brilliant. And anybody that's looking to kind of branch into the industry knows that if you're working with Nappy Tabs, that's just a good thing. It's a great thing, you know? And so, and they're amazing, because they have both worlds to help the artist and the dancer understand what they need to do to get to that next level. But they have the production side of things that helps us grow beyond just dancers, beyond just the regular stage we're used to. So that knowledge that they really shed on everybody they work with is something for me that just blew my mind to be able to work with them on that level. But, you know, I wasn't necessarily hesitant to be on a dance show, I was hesitant for the TV show side of things because yes. at the end of the day, you can have a great routine and it's TV. So they had to know that going in, you know, like we'll give everything we got and, you know, we'll train as hard as we can and we'll be appreciative of the results, whether they're what we want or not. Yeah. We just understand yeah. it's a growing process. The only hesitation was just really that you can't predict TV and, you know, TV's a different ball game. So that was my only hesitation. But, you know, at the end of the day, the hesitation's like 1%. Yeah. And, you know, you really shift that to the yeah. side when you recognize.
And it's hard. They ran out of time. Like, this could have been a two-hour show, I think, right. on every Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes you're like, wait, I need more. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. And, you know, and some acts we didn't get to see as much as others mm-hmm. and things like that. So I think they have a good problem on their hands where sure. people are left wanting more. And hopefully we'll see that for next season.
Yes.
So when you get the call and you officially know you're going on the show, do rehearsals start, like, next day, mm-hmm. 9 a.m., here yep. we go.
Yes, they yes. did.
That hour.
Next day, that hour.
Really, that's what's kind of cool about these kids. They're so clutch. Like, literally, we'll get the call about some good news or bad news even, and you know what? We just, everybody really has a commitment to what we're doing, and we know we got to do what we got to do to make it happen, and yeah. they knew the next day, okay, it's time to put in work. And, I mean, these are young kids, and they're not even the same level of experience as each other because they're different ages. They couldn't be. I mean, our youngest is 9 and, you know, our oldest was 16, 15.
15 on the show.
She's yeah. like, I was 15 on the show. Sorry, yeah. And Kaya, the little one, which I was asking him, like, how old is Kaya? And they're like, 9.
Kaya.
Yeah, I was like, 9. I was like, holy cow.
And she had just turned 9. Like, she was yeah. 8.
So she was a young 9.
She was 8 through the whole process of kind of getting built up into it. And then she turned 9.
A little before.
Yeah, like a couple months before.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys must all be like big brothers and sisters to her.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, when someone's a young 9, for sure. Kaya, you have to, like, just make sure the nerves are okay, that she's
funny, yeah. though. She's one of those kids that just stages her home. Like, she just, there's some sense of, I don't know if it's because she's 9, but she...
No fear. They don't understand
No fear.
She literally, she can get in front of any size audience and just deliver. She's just one of those kids that has it.
That's yeah. amazing. Now, I know I was talking about this with Trey, like the size of the crew has been bigger, smaller. Sure. I know I saw Hip Hop International, I think it was 6 of you guys. It was 10 on the show.
Yes.
How does the crew fluctuate? Like, how do you decide who's performing what?
You know, I think that's kind of a unique thing about our studio is we're kind of known for both. We're known for our crews, but we're known just as a studio for classes. Mm-hmm. And what we do is per like project that we involve ourselves in, we just really look at what we're working with and what we think we could be successful with it, and we just assemble the group. And it's not necessarily a brand new group every single time. It's sometimes it's one person adds in, sometimes it's four, sometimes mm-hmm. it's three leave, sometimes whatever it is, just because we want these kids to be able to pursue their individual careers and support that and, you know, really nourish that. But then we also know that there's going to be a time where team is what's going to help that individual career down the road. So we really just try to put everything together with what makes sense for the families and the ages that they are. And that's kind of where it is. And we have, you know, a handful of kids, probably up to about 50 that we do the selecting process from. But at the end of the day, it's really everybody supporting everybody. They understand, you know, we do our intention for anything we do is to be successful and to do it with love. Mm-hmm. So everybody respects that and just knows that, you know what, if we get selected, great. If we don't, we keep working.
Yeah. Right. And there'll be another opportunity down the road.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to imagine that the opportunities now are probably coming in like crazy right now. I know you guys were saying, because we were talking about school and how yeah. that had changed for all of them. And they're like, I might have to homeschool or I don't know whether I'm going back to. You've been homeschooled for a while, but that's going to be a really interesting shift, I know, for you.
Yeah, it's really, at first, like, the thought of it was a little scary because it's something that you've known for so long. Like, throughout your whole childhood, you think, oh, like, school is one of the things you remember, and it changed that. It's a little scary at first, but when you think about it, it's to benefit yourself in the future. Mm-hmm. So once I realized that, I was all in.
Yeah,
that's great.
Because this kid, I mean, he's like that 4.0, like perfect grades. And it's crazy because that for him, you know, it's a priority. Mm-hmm. And that's his discipline. That's not even somebody pressuring it. That's just kind of how he's built and his standard for himself. And so that was a hard balance for him too, because he loves what he does and he loves school. But he's found a maturity in knowing how to understand what's best for my future. Okay. Essentially, that's what schooling's to help us do, is to set up our future. So he's been able to just kind of maneuver his thoughts to say, like, yeah, this is what I have to do, and you know.
But the education's still important, though. Absolutely. You know, yes. You have to, like, as some days when you're like, I don't want to do it. Yeah. Really, at the end of the day, it really is the foundation. Yeah. For, even if you don't go on to dance, you know, absolutely. 10 mm-hmm. years later, yeah. you always have that to fall back on, mm-hmm. which is yeah. amazing. Now, I want to talk about the two rounds that we've seen so far. We know the cut is tonight, and we can't talk about it. And no one will talk about it. That's the good thing. I was telling them, I'm like, I've had enough World of Dance people and no one's talking. I'm like, other shows, people sing like canaries. And this show, everyone's like, no, not saying yeah. a word. And I love that, though. Yeah. I was like, everyone has a great respect for the outcome. Yeah. So, but let's talk about that qualifying round.
Sure.
How nervous were you guys for that first one?
It was, it was like our first time going on stage for the show and... I think we were really, really nervous, but we had been preparing for a long time, so we were confident, but you have to show that you're confident, but the inside, like, we're all shaking so hard, but I feel like that was what really set it off for us, like, that was what, after we were on stage, we realized, like, oh, like,
yeah,
like, this is real, like, this is a real competition, and we really need to compete, and I think that's what set it off, and with the judges' feedback, it really motivated us to keep working hard at how we did for the first episode and just to keep doing that.
How nervous were you watching from the sidelines? Because there's nothing you can control at that point. You have to let them go and let them do it.
You know what's funny? In all honesty, I was pretty angry because I'm a pretty tough coach and they know that. My expectations for them are to deliver what they're capable of, you know, and I had seen these kids like deliver things that I shot at them and I'm like, oh, okay, that's not going to happen. And then they come back and they do it. I'm like, okay, like these kids, their possibilities are really endless. So then when I see them get inside their head and get nervous, mm-hmm. you know, I'm there to just nip that in the butt. I'm like, no. Like, this is what you want. Why would you spend all that time working? You know, why would you really sacrifice the things you sacrifice to the time you get to enjoy it to allow those nerves to set in to where mm-hmm. you can't even have the play? Because I always tell them, you work so hard, and this is your play. This is, like, this should
be
the
fun part.
Yeah. And it's hard to channel that when you're a perfectionist. When you want to be so great at what you're doing, all you can think about is not messing up. Yeah. But that's really what breeds more mess ups is yeah. when that's our energy. So they were, I was in that mode with them where I was just like, snap out of it. Like, you got to snap out of it and you got to engage in it. And that's not easy to do at any age, you know, but especially when you're a kid and, you know, you're trying to not only please your coaches, but yourself and your family and everybody, and that pressure got pretty big. So I was intense with them that first round watching it, and I was nervous because I knew what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. I was just praying they were going to get out there and, you know, like, do that. But to see how they step up and manage under pressure, I mean, it's just not easy. And so, you know, I'm always proud of them regardless, but it's just in me to just keep pushing them till they're where they need to be.
How was the stage? How challenging was it? I've heard a lot about, you know, the theater in the round, the circular stage, and the lights. A lot of people were saying some of the tumbling was tough because the lights were all over the place. Hard to spot.
It's really different because we're competing like studio. So a lot of the things we do, it's like a square stage and it's like in like the auditorium we're in. It's like in the back and everyone's sitting there watching. But it was really different to be in the center of the room and it to be a circular stage, and especially for it to be TV. So there's like so much lighting, so many cameras. And so it was a different experience, and I think, yeah, I would agree, because for all the tricks and stuff, like, all the lights, all the cameras, it, like, kind of gets in your head, and so it kind of distracts you a little bit, but that's what it comes down to. You need to, you can't get distracted from that stuff. You just need to focus when you're on stage.
He got distracted, too, one of the times in one of our techs, and it was crazy. This kid will hit every trick every single time, like, he doesn't really miss. And then one of his tricks, one time he went and he came down and he landed the wrong way, like facing a different direction, and it threw him off. It's because he was twisting, and I think those lights, like, it
lose
threw
your
it
spot,
off
right?
Never like, wait, did Trey, like, never, like, I've never even seen him turn the wrong way. And it was just like, it's one of those things, though. It's like that switch, that, you know, like, change of the
It took a set
everything.
Designer to mess you up.
Yeah.
We're gonna make a theater in the round with tons of lights. At least it was in tech, though.
Yeah, for sure. That takes the time to really make the mistakes and work them out.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about this stage. And Kyle, who's a tapper, was like, it was so slippery. He was like, it was like ice. He said it was really hard to dance.
Yeah.
I think for me, when we first walked onto the stage at first ever tech, I wanted to immediately, like, point something out that would give me, like, an excuse. Like, oh, my God, like, I'm going to, like, this is going to be hard for me. And for me, the stage was kind of like this this desk, yeah. kind of like this material. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so hard. And then I was like, no, it's not. Like, as long as I deliver what I'm supposed to do and just, like, throw that idea out the door, I'm going to be fine. And I was totally fine. But it's like,
I honestly, that's so true. It's so easy to just get inside your head and look for the things that are going to make us mess up.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's like, I mean, technically, we have those same setbacks in class. We just don't really recognize them yeah. as a setback because there's not the same pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're also in familiar surroundings. Right. With, yeah. You know, right. everything is like, you know. Like, I know this. Yeah, yeah.
You know it.
So that's so interesting. So how about facing the judges? Because you have, like, when they assembled this panel, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hey, J-Lo, by the way, Derek Huffin, let's just throw Neo on there. I mean, come on. When you got those first scores, because they were outstanding scores, I think you averaged 90.3, yeah. I think, was the total for qualifying.
Yeah,
or
91.
91.3, I think.
Yeah, 91.3. You got it. Yeah, so that... I mean, were you just like, I think I'm going to throw up just waiting for these? I mean, you guys had a great routine. You must have known that, like, in your gut.
It was,
I don't feel like you really know until it happens.
Because you have to go in with confidence, like, so then, like, you're confident enough in yourself that you'll deliver. But then again, like, it's still that unknown part. Like, you don't know for sure. That's why you always need to work hard to make sure, to try and make it as big of a chance as it can be to make it.
I think we were very, like, confident in the dance that we put out there, but every day we always dealt with the issue of, like, challenging ourselves, like, could we make it better? Yeah. Can we change something to make it better? Mm-hmm. We weren't totally satisfied with what we had, but in the end, when that day came, we're like, it's time,
we're ready.
This is it, and hopefully it hits, and it did. So
and it was Derek that pointed out your 540, right? He's like, who did the 540? Who did? He was kind of impressed with
that. I was amazed that he even knew, like, what that was. Like, I was like, wow, like, he knows that stuff. Out.
Yeah. Derek Huff knows all. Trust me. Yeah. He's so well-versed in all styles. Yeah. I think that's what is one of the wonderful things about having him on the judging panel.
Yeah, on the show, there's so many times where, like, he points out, like, different stuff, like, different techniques and all these other styles, and it just shows how, like, how he's meant for this show, because he's so versatile and he knows so many styles, so... Like, he can actually, like, pick things out of every single style that he watches.
Yeah, don't, like, think that it's just the ballroom. And that's where dance history also comes into play, because if you're watching, like, different things on YouTube, and I know he's very well-versed on classic film and things like that, you're going to know what these things are, and you're not just like, who did the flip? You know, that kind of thing. Like, he knew it was a 540, so.
Yeah.
That must have been kind of awesome.
It was, at the moment, I was still, like.
Stunned.
I was stunned because of, like, the stage and all the people, but then it was really, like, not even when I got off stage, just when the episode aired, I just realized, like, how grateful I was just to be able to get noticed. And not even just for me, just for the team in general, just to get good feedback how we did.
Yeah.
And it was just something that was really motivating. Yeah.
So you guys make it, because the cutoff was 80. You guys are at, like, 91.3. Now where do you go? Because this was, I thought, interesting. With some contestants, they went back and reworked their entire routines. Mm-hmm. And other people said, I have to stick with what I know. What did you do with the kids?
Push them to the next level.
But did you primarily keep the foundation of what you had for the duels, or did you switch a few things?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go with what your strength is, because that's going to be what they're going to feel most comfortable delivering. But they knew that, okay, you had, you know, 3 or 4 moments in your first set that had these blow-ups and, like, this big crowd appeal. You can't go back in your second set and just do a bunch of choreography in a room full of people that are amazing at choreography and expect that to get us to the next level. Mm-hmm. So they were really challenged that second routine because they were outside of their comfort zone several times in it.
Yeah.
I think one of my biggest things was that we had never done such a significant theme before. We had never done, like, a themed piece, and, like, we wanted to really do a themed piece because, you know, it's TV. You have to do something where it's going to be rememberable, like, everybody's going to remember. And even to, like, today, like, there's still people who are like, oh, you're part of the lab, the people who did the boxing set.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, that was really, like, a home run for us, like, being able to step out of our comfort zone but still be rewarded.
Yeah, because you need to be in, because the whole time throughout the piece, you need to be in that character. You need to show the body language of like an actual fighter. I know it's something we needed to adjust, like,
and it's athletic.
Yeah, it's very athletic.
It's like dance is, you know, the there's athleticism in the fact that you're moving for 2 minutes straight or whatever it is, but then to add on top of that tricks and blow-ups and stuff like that, that's really demanding for them, because it's demanding on our bodies when we're, getting the proper rest and fuel and all that. And these kids are, they're going just around the clock trying to make these routines happen in the time frame we have to have them happen in, so they're really just having to pull this out of nowhere, and a lot of them hadn't trained in that level of intensity before. Like Sweets really does, she doesn't have a tumbling background, so that's not something you just pop in overnight. Yeah. That is like years of
you
of
weren't
training.
Doing a 540, huh?
No. In my dreams, no.
Well, it's also really interesting too. You guys brought up the concept aspect of it. Nia was like, I'm not sure about the concept. And we said this on the show because we had Tanya from the posse. Tanya Kuzia was here that week, and I was like, I love the concept. And she goes, it was such a strong concept and very well executed. Like, she was very complimentary of what you guys had done on the stage. And I was like, I thought it was really funny that Neo was like, I wasn't sure. And I was like, to me, like, I understood exactly what you were going for from start to finish. And you guys sold it. So I was like, I wasn't sure what he was going for with that comment.
I get what he's saying, because I think Neo has a picky eye. I think he looks for the individual. And I don't know that he has like a wide scale view of the team. I think he scans through, and when you do that, you notice more flaw, and I feel like if you're watching, you're like, this is good, and then you watch somebody and then maybe they're not in full character, or it was so characterized that you thought they just weren't going as hard or something. I that's what I was trying to balance of what his feedback was that, possibly there was so much focus on me trying to be this like aggressive boxer that I forgot to just really kill what, my choreography was. Yeah. So, and they knew that. I mean, and they knew that actually on that round. I thought they did well delivering something they weren't comfortable with, but I had seen them even do that round better in tech, it was just one of those things that it's when it's outside your comfort zone, it's kind of a gamble on what you're going to be able to deliver. But I understood what he was saying. That actually helped me understand maybe we do need to just have a better balance, on our scale of what we're producing and stuff. To me, there's no bad feedback. Ever.
No, there never is, and it's always like how you take the constructive criticism. I had asked Ian about that too when I felt the very first week he did it, and they were like, it was too laid back. And to me, I'm like, that was classic Ian right there. But he said, I didn't get mad. He's like, I'm not going to please everyone, but it also was a reminder for the duels, like what I needed to step up and where I needed to go.
That's competition. I mean, at the end of the day, it's these people's perspective on what they want. So if you want to be successful at it, you got to be able to balance their feedback with what you do.
Right. That's a great point. And you guys battled Boys of Temecula in this round.
Yes.
Did you know, at that point, or was it kind of assigned, or who was left?
No, they allowed us to pick. I thought that was a really cool rule. Weird at first, because we were like, this is awkward, because we're not confrontational. We're just friendly, and we're just happy to be there next to anybody. So it was a little uncomfortable for us to pick, but then I also thought it was kind of a cool concept, because it allowed you to pair with what you felt you were comfortable, going up against in a battle, which is not always the case. So with Boys of Temecula, I think they were shocked we picked them, but for us, there were so many similarities, and I mean, these are studio trained kids. These kids come from a studio that, just having that same competition background to me made it more fair. I mean, they were larger in number, but we felt that was a help in balancing out our difference in scores and stuff, because they thought they were one of the lower scoring teams, we were one of the higher scoring teams, but we were trying to balance that out with, well, you guys have so much more to work with here. We had a smaller group, so we were kind of balancing it out that way. And for us, they're strong, and to me they were just strong in a different way, and so I thought that was exciting to just be able to, that was really going to come down to perspective, which one kind of delivered it. So putting us up against somebody who was maybe more identical in style to us, I mean, probably would have been good for TV or a good showdown as well. We just felt like the age range and where they were from and all that just made sense for our group.
And I guess that's what you have to go with, too, when it comes to this particular round. When you're both standing on stage and waiting for that score, because, it makes a difference, because the qualifying round, you're just working as a team and you're just trying to qualify. Now you're up against another group and you're like, holy cow, this could be it.
It's a scary thought. Like every single time you're on that stage, there's always that thought in the back of your head, like, this could be the last time I'm on the stage dancing. So that's why every time you're on there, you need to deliver and go your hardest, because you never know, that could be the last time you're on that stage.
And this has been such a huge opportunity. So when you then find out we're going through, Is it hard to celebrate? Because it's that weird thing of like, I'm yes. so excited. It's, I'm sorry for you. You guys were great.
Right. It was, yeah, you can see on the show too, like before, like we, when they said our name at first, like we were excited, but like it wasn't like, oh, we need to go like, yeah. like go to them. Like we all like kind of like not like felt it, but like it was the right thing to do. Like we felt like it was mm-hmm. the right thing to do to
it
just
makes sense. Yeah.
like congratulate them too for doing so good on the show. Like just because they got out doesn't mean like yeah. they're not as good dancers. Like if anything, it were the same. It was just perspective and how they saw the routine. So I went to like all the guys and I was like good job. Like I wanted to, we all congratulated them because mm-hmm. it was a fair fight and it was just how they saw it in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason it's called the Olympics of Dance. You're not, right. you know, like they're not going to send me to World of Dance. Let's just be honest. You know what I mean? So there's a reason all of you guys made it to the show to begin right. with.
Yes.
And I
yes.
think
yes.
that that's what people need to remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it comes to that. I want to talk a little bit about backstage because when we had Tanya here, she said that your group, the lab, and then the posse oftentimes would stay all the way to the end. Like a lot of the juniors would like go home
yeah.
and their taping day was finished. And she was like, we would always stay around and watch everyone because she's like, I think it felt like great for everyone to see what else was happening and yeah. learn from that experience.
Absolutely. I mean, they couldn't get enough of the show. I mean, as exhausting as it was, if you would have asked them if they wanted it any other way, they would have said no. You know, they would have slept in the studio.
Slept
yeah,
there.
Universal City.
Yeah, we would have slept there.
I just think that they were able to take so much from what was going on around them. And I think we were just trying to capitalize on any opportunity to just get more comfortable being there. Because yeah. that's really what's going to change your nerves. It's just feeling like, okay, I've seen the stage enough or I've been in the studio enough that, okay, I can do this. And, you know, they did a certain amount of visualizing prior to getting there. So then when you get there, it's not that big of a shock, but you can't still control that you're seeing it for the first yeah. time. So the more times you see it as a dancer, performer, that's when you start getting in your zone and it starts fueling you versus scaring you. Mm-hmm. And so for them, that was just important for us to just be around as many dancers as possible, be around the stage, the practice rooms, whatever it was. If they were offering it to us and not kicking us out, we were there.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Who were you so excited to see backstage? Because like I said, I'm like, if you had thrown all these people in front of me, I would have been a little starstruck.
I think for most of the team, well, all the team, we were most excited to see our brothers Kinjas. Like, yeah. we're really close to Kinjas, and they use the lab, and, like, they always come and visit. So to be around them and, like, for them to be encouraging us throughout the whole show, and they were just, like, really just big brothers to us was really yeah. exciting. And then personally, I like seeing Keone and Mari. Like, yeah. they're just so inspirational to me.
Yeah, it was, yeah, there's all those, like, I'm pretty sure, like, all the people on the team, like, at least had, like, one person from that show that they've looked up to since they're
yeah.
little. Like, almost all the people from, like, the uppers and the teams, like, they're all just so, such well-known dancers, and they've already, like, they're established, and they're just amazing, and it's just people we've looked up to for a long time, and just to see them in person and see them do what they love, and it's what we love, too, and get to share the same stage. I think that's like the biggest payoff out of all of it.
Yeah. I know you guys are never. I mean, when else is this all going to happen? Where they're just like all in one room and it's contained. And
I yeah. think it's season one. There won't be another season like it.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
how do you replicate?
No,
that
it's,
many
that's what I said.
Seasons?
You'll yes. always have season one and the magic of what it created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I think season one is kind of one of those things that like you're just whether you made it to the end or not, you're just really
grateful
blessed to be able
to be a part of it.
Yeah, to say that that's who I got to be in a room with. That's who I got to share my passion with that surrounding me.
Yeah.
And everyone's talked about the backstage camaraderie. Like everyone was very supportive.
Very.
Everyone,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's really
yeah.
important. That because that colors your experience and your memories. The further away you get from
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, like, 6 months from now, you're still going to remember what happened backstage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone,
how people treated you.
Oh, yeah. Like, definitely. Like, when people were going on stage, like, of course, they had a big TV in the back where we could all watch. So,
right.
anytime someone was going on, everyone was going to the TV because we wanted to support and we wanted
mm-hmm.
to watch. And if they made it or not, when they came off, we'd clap for them, we'd congratulate them. And it was just a great environment. And it wasn't like other competitions where, like, everyone's, like, kind of, like eyeballing each other, like kind of like I'm gonna beat you, you know.
I'm gonna beat you.
But like, no, everyone.
Wait
was just
to see my 540.
Yeah, everyone was just like really supportive and just it was just a great time. Like it felt like it was just a bunch of people like coming together and just like dancing together. It was just a great time.
If yeah. if there could have been like no eliminations, like that was really what it felt like. It felt like this amazing showcase,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And that's. I think that was so encouraging. I could see that for like as a kid. That's really intimidating to see because I did. That whole spiel about like look, you're going against people that have been doing this their whole life. You know, they've been doing this longer than you were even alive. You know, and they're brilliant at what they do. Yeah. So to be able to compete at that level, I'm not asking you to be them or be at that level. You just got to give all of you to just make sure you're at least contributing in your work, you know?
Yes.
And so they understood that. But I think to be around that and then have those people so, like, receptive of what who they were. Like, Kendra's, like you said, I mean, they're family to us. You know, we've known them for a long time. And they just came up and gave the kids an energy and a confidence that they were able to, you know, like, fuel up from that. Because it's scary. It's intimidating knowing you got to go show what you do and you got all this pressure, you know. And so it was really nice. I think the whole energy backstage was just something that, like, I'm really appreciative that they got to experience, and myself included.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because they probably amped you up, but they probably also calmed you down, like took the nerves away.
Oh, yeah.
Like give you the energy to do a good performance. But they've had quite a run too.
They're amazing.
They're incredible. Their work, their precision to me. I'm like, what are their rehearsals like? Because have you guys ever watched their rehearsals? Because I sit there and think they must go over this over and over and over and over to look like that.
Yeah, that's what you get when you get like 30 people that are specialists in what they do. I mean, they're just their energy going into it, I can imagine, is just something that, you know, creates itself. Like these,
so impressive. Yeah. It's so impressive. Okay, so we can't talk about the cut in terms of outcome or anything else like that. But what type of preparation did you guys do for the cut?
That was probably our hardest.
Yeah.
That was definitely the set that took the most out of them for sure when I look back on all three. I think the preparation was don't stop until the job's done.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that. I mean, I remember I have like footage I just found the other day of like you guys in the hotel and everything and they were going through this. I mean, they were like falling, like KF fell like flat on her back and we're like looking, we're like, get up and do it again.
Yeah, you know? I don't care that you're 9. Get up. Yeah.
But it was just, I mean, I remember I asked Trey to like do this insane tumble pass that we were originally trying to plan, and he had like 3 seconds to do something that was really designated for like 7 seconds. It was like that last tumble pass. And it's just kind of like, all right, do it again. Let's just keep trying. It was just pushing everybody's limits. I think even creatively, Josh from Hawaii, actually, he was a choreographer that we brought on for the show. He came in and helped assist on, like, you know, arranging the sets and putting everything together. And we just kind of looked at each other and we're just like, you just got to keep pushing until we can get the result that we're happy with. So I just think the preparation was, okay, what trick do we have that's better? What blow up do we have that's better? And, you know, what can we do choreography wise that's going to keep us, you know, on the map and everything. And it's also a strategy. You know, we really try to go in understanding that, you know, if we have this amount of tricks, how do we spread them out over what the length of the show could look like? So we were really just trying to do that on this end too, just piece it together the best we could to make sense of what we could do to win, you know?
You forget, like, strategy does come into play with things like this. It's kind of amazing. And, you know, you guys were sequestered in the hotel too, even though you're local, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I always found really interesting. So you guys were living in this whole world of dance
bubble. Yes. I think it was easier that way. I couldn't imagine. Distraction. Well, yeah, I think too, it's like you all go your separate ways, you know, and then you have to all meet back up. It's just that energy is lost, you know? Once everybody knows, they go up to the room, they go to bed, they wake up, there's the same faces. Like, literally, you're with these people. Yeah.
Breakfast at 8, 9 o'clock rehearsal, let's go.
It's like, it just get you in this like routine where it's like it doesn't allow any distraction in. Mm-hmm. So it was easier.
Did they have, were the rehearsal studios set up per se, or were they spaces at the hotel that they made into rehearsal studios?
They had spaces, but they were all shared community spaces. I think that was probably one of the most challenging things.
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
so
tough.
You had to be there as soon as you got out from the place that we were shooting at. As soon as you got back, you had to go and get your spot.
Like, fight
if you
for
didn't,
the shuttles.
Then you wouldn't be able to get your spot. And if you didn't have your spot, then you couldn't practice in there. So you'd have to find, like, somewhere outside or maybe, like...
Oh, my gosh. That makes sense.
I remember the funniest thing that we did when we practiced was it was really late and we had to get this routine down. Like, we only had one day left and we had to go on tech. So the only spot that was available was outside in this really big tent. And we all went out there and we're like, it's hot in there once you like start practicing, but it was cold. So all of our bodies started steaming. Like, you just see the steam.
Oh, yeah. There was like steam coming off our head. It was weird.
It was funny.
It was freezing outside, but they were like super hot from the rehearsal, and they were just steaming out of it. It was funny.
Like, what am I doing to these kids? Yeah. And for anyone that's not in Los Angeles, we had a very wet and cold winter here, just to give you guys an idea. And, like, wet and cold, we don't know what to do with. So we're a mess. But this makes sense, too, because Kyle had told me that he was practicing, like, tapping in his hotel room just to find a space, like, late at night. And Fiction was next door, and he'd be like, sorry, dude, sorry. I'm keeping you awake at midnight, you know?
You know what's funny? We got kicked out of that tent thing, but we hadn't even finished what we needed to do. And so we're, like, going around, and we just kept getting kicked out of places. So then we were like, you know what? We have to practice this trick that is in our set, and you'll actually see it in the
tonight in the cut.
But it was one of the things that literally we didn't even have it down the night before because we didn't have any proper place to practice it. So we're up in our hotel on, I don't know, the 12th floor practicing all the way down
the aisle in the hallway.
Oh my. Yeah, it was pretty intense, but we're just like,
What are we gonna do?
Yeah, we gotta practice.
We gotta make this happen. Yeah. Believe it or not, the hour is up, you guys. It's been such a fast hour. But I have one final question for each of you. We'd love to know what your individual goals are in dance. Okay. What's your next thing?
My next thing is to, well, obviously grow as a dancer, but I want to eventually open up my own studio. And hopefully it's just like Val's, just like the lab. And I want to open up a place where kids can come and just learn from the beginning to the end, learn what's going to happen and learn what did happen and how did you get to this spot. And I really want to do that. And since I'm Christian, I want it to be a little bit more Christian-based.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you would have loved that. You know, you've been such a great influence.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from Val, definitely.
Yeah. I love that. How about you, Trey?
I don't have plans, like, for right now, of course, like, growing as a dancer. But long-term goals that I have, like, I just want to be able to help other kids. Not even kids, just, like, anyone. Because there's so many people out there that they want to dance and they just don't know, like, who to go to. And I want to be able to be one of those people that they can go to when they want to learn how to dance or go take class. So I want to be able to travel and just teach, and I just want to be able to help people find their passion and just find their motivation to dance.
That's great. Mentorship is really important, no matter what industry you're in. It's really, it really makes a big difference. How about for you? Because you're going to have what I like to call, and I'm a big gymnastics follower, the Olympics effect, where all of a sudden, like, the Olympics end, and then you are flooded with new students at your studio. That's going to happen. You know that, if you're not already seeing it already. Are you prepared for this growth? Like, what is your vision?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time in the works to get here. I mean, it's probably over 15 years that I've been going with, like, owning a studio, running dance teams. And I think seeing them, just their feedback on what they want to do, like, I can't help but feel even a certain amount of accomplishment with that, because the entire purpose of everything we do is to teach people how to give back and teach other people. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is the basis of everything we do. If you have something you're passionate about that you want to pursue, that you have inside you, that came because of somebody helping you bring that out. So it's just that cycle. And so for me, it's really like the more the merrier. If you have a passion, if you have something you want to get involved in, if you just have something you want to share, really, I mean, that's really what our studio is about. And I'm definitely prepared for it. We're ready to go to the next, you know, level with everything. So
it's coming. Yeah. I'm just letting you know it's coming, you guys. Well, congratulations to all of you on such a successful season of World of Dance.
Thank you.
Just let everyone know where they can find all of you online, social media, all that good stuff.
Sure. You can find us at InTheLab247. That's our Instagram. InTheLab247.com is our website. And yeah, check us out. A lot of good courses, a lot of good opportunities.
And how about for you guys? Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at Trey Derego, TREDEREGO. That's my Instagram name. And YouTube as well, same thing.
And it's your real name too. Not just your Instagram name.
No, it's my real name, I swear. Yeah.
And you can find me at Little Sweets 2 on Instagram and mostly on my social media, and that's LALSWEETS 2.
All right, you guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was fascinating, and I just always love hearing everyone's story and, like, how everyone came to World of Dance and how you guys are just killing it on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, I want to thank you guys for joining us here at To The Point. Next week's guest is going to be Dancing with the Stars Pro, and So You Think You Can Dance All-Star, Allison Holker. So we will see you guys all next week, To The Point with Kristen Burt.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.